Thank you, Jesus. Today is we have the privilege of participating in Communion Sunday. As there are passing out the elements, I want to read something out of Hebrews. As soon as I find my glasses. And this is Hebrews 10, 8 through 18. And it says, I'm reading out of the NIV. And it says, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. And then he said, and this is Paul speaking of Jesus. And then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. I like that. Once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He has made us perfect. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. No longer are we bound by the thou shalt nots. Now our Lord Jesus is saying, I will. Lord Jesus will. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. No more. Not just for a certain time in history, but no more. Past, present, future. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. John says that Jesus' last words were, it is finished. And then he took his last breath. There's nothing more for us to do. There's nothing else in this world that we could possibly do because he did it for us. He's forgiven our sins. He's taken upon himself sickness and disease. He paid that price on that cross so that we wouldn't have to go through it. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And when he said finished, it means complete. No more. No more. So as we participate today and we take these elements, the word tells us to do it in remembrance of what he did. We want to remember that the Father God sent his Son as a sacrifice for everyone sitting here, standing here. And so remember what he did and thank him for what he did. So as soon as I get mine. The word says that on the night he was betrayed, that Jesus was with his disciples. And after giving thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, take, this is my body And as we saw, it was a body that was broken. A body that went beyond abuse. But he did it for you and me. Please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you, for forgiveness of your sins." Please take the cup. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what you did on that cross, Lord. We thank you that it was once and for all, Lord. And that all those rituals that were taking place before your work on the cross, Lord, would be meaningless to us, Lord. But your blood is precious. And we thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much. We thank the Father that he loved us so much to send you, Lord. Amen. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. The title of my sermon is A Father's Heart. And I don't know, some of you are probably like me. You were raised in a time where, I know for me, I had an image of the Father, the first person of the Godhead, as someone, spirit kind of guy, looking, sitting on a throne, looking down, looking to see who he could find so that he could say, "Stop it." Maybe throw a lightning bolt down at us or something like that. And it's an image that would kind of stick with me for quite a while. It wasn't something that, it's definitely not something that I have today. But I had that image of God, you know. It was something where... eventually, when I came to Christ and I got to know what I was really doing in this journey, it was easy for me to accept Christ as my friend. I love that he went around and healed people. I wanted to do that. I wanted to do all the things that Jesus did while he was on this earth. I understood the Holy Spirit, and that was easy for me to accept. And, you know, you could see that the Holy Spirit moved in power, and you could speak in tongues and just move the world. Easy for me to accept. But as I'll share a little bit later, it wasn't so easy for me to see God the Father in the light that he should be seen. So, I want to start off, the first scripture I have is John 8:19. And it's just one verse there. It says, and this is the Pharisees talking to Jesus, say, they asked him, "Where is your father?" because he was telling them who sent him. And Jesus answered and says, "You do not know me or my Father." Jesus replied, "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." And so Jesus came to show us the Father. And through his ministry, every reference that Jesus ever made towards God, he spoke of him as Father. And for the short time of his ministry, he was able to demonstrate the Father's compassion, his mercy, his forgiveness, unconditional love, so many attributes that we could not see. We never could see the Father because, of course, he's a spirit being. But we could see Jesus. And he was telling us to see me, watch me. And this is who my Father is. And so, because of that, all those that would receive Jesus could also get to start knowing who our Father in heaven was. And knowing the Father's love, even to the point of sacrificing his one and only Son. And that those that would, those in the world would be saved, as John 3:16 says. So today, because of Jesus' example, we can accept God as a loving Father, an Abba Father, a daddy. Those are words that sometimes for some of us, it's not easy to go there. It wasn't for me. But I just want to kind of share a little bit of my own personal life. And I have three daughters. And they're all 40 plus in years. So I'll just stop there. I won't go any farther than that. They're at least 40. And to this day, they call me Daddy. And it's not, you know, Father. It's Daddy. And even to now, they still sit on my lap. And I don't know if some of you dads and even moms have that experience with your children. But what an uplifting time when that type of relationship has been built with your children. And it has extended even to my grandkids. You know, I have the same relationship with them. They can come and hug me, and sometimes it's like, get away, you know. never. I love all they have for me. And so the thing with that part of it is that as I look at that, and I didn't do this because I didn't have it in me. And it was only through my walking with God that I was able to understand what he had for me and what I could do. My mom was left with me when I was a baby. My dad walked away. And so I never got to know my dad. But my mom gave me all the love I could ever want. My grandparents, my aunts, that didn't lack. But I had no place to put a father figure in my life. And so, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when I finally came to walk in this journey with God, as I said earlier, I could accept the Holy Spirit. He was fun. Holy Spirit's fun, guys. If you're not walking with Him and doing the things that He's having you do, you're missing on a great time on this earth. And Jesus, wow. Keep looking at Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him and keep going towards Him. Can't go wrong. I could do all that. But every time someone would preach a sermon that had to do with the first person of the Godhead, I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know how to go sit on His lap. I didn't know how to know that He was there to just love me wherever I was, whatever I was doing in my life. So the point of even me telling you this story is that I'm sure that there's some here that are kind of in that same place. Where maybe that father figure hasn't been what that father figure is. And so some of you may not be able to relate to what I talk about today and the love that He has, just as I wasn't able to. But I'm here to tell you that you don't have to stay there. There's a Father that's there to love you. And some of us are at an age that our dads have gone and they've come and gone, and we have wonderful images, wonderful memories of our dads. And that's a beautiful thing, but some of us don't. The thing to look at is that the image of our earthly father that He has upon us can give us the application to how we see the Father in heaven. And sometimes that can be positive, and sometimes that could be negative. So when you look at your dad, or even yourself, who was he? Who are you? Was he that dad that could hug you? Was he that dad that could, that you would hear from, that you could talk to? Are you that dad to your children? Can your kids come up to you and say, "Dad, I got a problem"? Or are they too afraid of your reaction to come close to you? This is, as we see Jesus, this is where we get to see that Father. And as we experience His place in our lives, we get to see not only why we shut off that Father figure, but where we are. And something to really understand is that in my case, because I didn't have that father figure, it kind of worked out for me. Because as time came on and my kids were born and I started seeing them grow, I made up that dad in me through the help of the Holy Spirit. I made up that dad that I always wished I had. And so I was able to become that person for my kids that I never knew. And so there's never too late of a time to start if there's something that needs a little more attention. And just know that there is the Father's heart, as what this is the title of my my sermon. We don't know the capacity of the Father's heart. We think we got Him figured out. He's got a heart bigger than you'll ever know. And He'll never give up on you. He'll never say you've reached your limit. Not for Him. He's going to be there when everyone else in the world has let go of you. when those people that you thought were there for you and loved you, not him. People in this world will let you down. Not him. Jesus allowed us to see the Father through him. So the next scripture I'm going to share will show how the Father sees us. So if you'll put Ephesians 2:10 up there. Now I can't find Ephesians. Okay. Just again, one more verse. And what you see up there, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, this is the NIV that I'm reading out of. And for those of you that picked up one of these bulletins today, I had it translated into the New Living Translation because it really struck me the way that they translated it. And if you look at it, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece," period. I like that. That just spoke to me so much. And it's exceptional, that period. We're his masterpiece. That's how he looks at you. So I looked up in the dictionary masterpiece. And it says, something having notable excellence, an unusually brilliant achievement. And this is the one I like. Considered the greatest achievement of its creator. Wow. Your heavenly Father considers you his greatest achievement. And for most of us, because of the Holy Spirit in us, that revelation has been placed in our hearts. It's okay for us to accept that. We accept that. I know he loves me. I know he thinks a lot of me. He thinks I'm cute. You know? He does. And I can accept that. Once upon a time, maybe not so much. But today, yes. And so, to some of you, though, as I was once, you're thinking to yourself, you don't see yourself as much of a masterpiece. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see. And sometimes, even if we could see inside of us, we would think even worse. We are, ourselves are our own worst critic. We see things in us that other people don't. And so when we look at ourselves in that way, you think about it. Do you know that when you downgrade or criticize yourself or anyone else, you're actually saying that God's workmanship is inferior? I don't want to go there. All God can do is masterpieces. He doesn't do anything secondary. Everything is prime. So we have to get to that place that you can see yourself and others around you as he sees you. A masterpiece. In the eyes of the Father, He sees beautiful. You're beautiful. Inside and out. No matter if you're bald and chunky, still beautiful. And so we need to get to that place to see ourselves with His eyes. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that, and I'll read that again. It says that He created us in Christ Jesus to do good works which God had prepared in advance. So this goes in advance, says it wasn't, we didn't catch Him by surprise when we came into this world. He knew us before we were ever formed. He knew us. And He had wonderful things planned for us. It wasn't a surprise that all of a sudden He goes, oh my gosh, John's mom's having a baby. I better figure him out, you know. What am I going to do with him? He said He had good things planned for me. He already had it set out. And the thing that He needed and that He needs for us here today is that those good plans are not going to be completed without the help of His Holy Spirit. And that's what that verse says. It says, created in Christ Jesus. Without ourselves accepting Christ in our lives and allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to begin to paint. Think of it as an artist. He's painting this beautiful picture. The Word says that He is the potter and we are the clay. He's making a beautiful sculpture. But you know what? It didn't end when you accepted Christ. It didn't end when you were born. It's ongoing. And His Holy Spirit is continuing to paint us into that perfect masterpiece. And it takes us accepting Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to put those little bitty paint parts in us to make us that perfect masterpiece that He had planned for us way, way long ago. And so we need the Holy Spirit on our journey, or else that masterpiece is not going to come to the completion that he had planned for us. We're still going to be in this world. We're still going to, you know, we may die and have a wonderful life. This world is full of nice people, good people. But this world is not full of saved people. And without us accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, God's perfect plan will not be fulfilled. I'm going to share a couple of stories with a demonstration of a father. And these are stories in the Bible that you're all familiar with. And so the first one I want to share is it's in Luke 15, and it's 11 through 24, and it's the prodigal son. So I'm going to read from 11 through 24. And Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, 'Father, give me your share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, how many of the father's hired men have good food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way away, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And I'll stop there. How many times in our journey do we find ourselves in a bad spot? And lots of times we'll go, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why are you allowing this to happen in my life? And I'm here to tell you, it's not God's fault. God's plan for this young man did not include the sorrow and the tragedy that he went through. That wasn't God's plan, the advanced plan for this lost son. His choices determine his circumstance. But God's plan did include restoration. I'm going to read verse 20 again. And it says, and this is talking of the father, said, he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. It shows there a father. I don't think it just happened that day he happened to go out there and was looking at the mountains. And the son happened to just, that was the day the son picked. This father was consistently looking for his son. Consistently waiting. And I'm sure his prayer was, Lord, just bring him home. Don't let him be harmed. Isn't that what we dads do? And you see where it shows the father had compassion. There was no condemnation. Not once does it say anything about the dad doing anything except just loving him. He just loved him. He had no questions at that time. There'd be time to talk about it. You know, God needs to correct us. It's okay. But if we're at a place and we're not open to that correction, we're not going to hear him. But if he loves us back to that place that we can now hear his heartbeat, we're going to be open to that correction, that redirection that he wants for us. Now, on verse 21, it says, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. See, the dad didn't have to say anything. The son already knew in his heart what he'd done. You know, when we're out there like that, we really don't have to be reminded of what we did wrong. We know. And so if we get beat up with the same things that by our father, by the same things that we already know we got beat up in the world with, we're not going to be too apt to want to hear it. And so sometimes when we hit bottom, as this young man did, he was out with the pigs. How farther down can you go? But sometimes when you hit bottom, you didn't even realize you were headed there. All of a sudden you find yourself and you go, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? And so at that point, again, you don't need to hear condemnation or if you would have done this or if you would have done it this way. All you want is somebody to just say, you know what? Come on. We'll talk later. Let's have a party. I'm glad you're home. And that's the Father's heart. He just wants to love you. He wants to be there for you. No questions asked. Our prayer is that they would come back before any harm comes to them. And no matter how far you've gone and how far down you've gone, there's a hand there reaching to pick you out of that, the depths of where you're at. His hand is there to pull you out. And again, with all the garbage that we probably are in or have gone through, only His love can penetrate that garbage. There's nothing else. No words are going to get you to come out of the garbage that you've been. We don't need it when we're in that place. And so that love can penetrate our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes to see where it is that we need the new direction and new correction. Another one, Luke 15:4-7. And you've read this one prior, I'm sure, but it's about the lost sheep. And so it says, Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, this story, unlike the prodigal son, the prodigal son's circumstances drove him back to the father. He came back of his own strength, if you want to call it, even if he crawled, but he went back. This story shows the high value that the Father has placed on each one of us. Verse 5, Verse 5, it says that, I need to read that. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. I need to put that out there. Because when we're out in the world, we become weak. We get beat up out there. The word says that the devil's like a roaring lion and he wants to devour all of those that are unprotected, that do not have the shield of God in them. And so when you look at this picture, this little sheep was probably very afraid, probably not knowing where she was or how she got there. Probably ran into some rough terrain, maybe a few scratches and who knows, a broken toe or something, whatever they have. Thirsty, hungry. And you know, that's a picture of us. We may be at a place that we don't even have the strength to come back. We don't even know how to come back. All of a sudden, we're out there and you're going, what do I do now? And so, we need to be carried. And our shepherd goes out and he looks for us. And he throws us on his strong shoulders. And he carries us. He loves us through it again. No questions asked. And so you see that all of this is, whatever they've done wrong is overshadowed by the rejoicing and the celebration that comes just from finding that lost child. Now I'm sure, and I've heard some stories here, some of you have probably lost your little kid in a store, or who knows, maybe in a out in a amusement park or something like that. And you know, your heart's beating. Where is that little guy? You're scared. The kid's probably scared, not knowing where he is. And what are you going to do when you find him? Is the first thing you're going to do is slap him on the head? Or are you going to take that kid and you're just going to love him? We'll talk later. And you will correct him. Don't do this again. It's good. It's good to hear correction. But it's good to be loved prior to that correction. Rejoice. The rejoicing overshadows anything else that we could possibly try to speak into someone's life. Just love them and rejoice that you have them back. You have them in your midst. God has granted you more time to speak into their lives, more time to show them your love. That's the only way you're going to bring your kids back. And no matter where you are, no matter where we've been, there's a heavenly Father that's looking for you, waiting, his arms wide open, no questions asked. Now, I want to go to Romans 8, 21 through 25. I'm sorry, 7. I think I wrote 8. Romans 7, 21 through 25. See, I'm doing it, Pastor Henry. I'm good. And it says, and this is Paul speaking of himself. And it says, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, and I call this the do-do scripture, because you want to do and you can't do. And so anyway, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And this is the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll stop there. All of us have this, Paul relates to it in a different place, as these two forces, one drawing you one way and one drawing you another. And sometimes in our journey, we lose our way, as some of these stories tell us. Sometimes we don't want to go there. It just kind of happens. And so as we approach these things, we have to know that when this happens, the more that we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, the more that the Spirit is what guides us, the more we keep our eyes on Jesus, the less that we're going to go in the wrong direction. But there's still these things that are pulling us. And that's where the area that we have to say no to and yes to the Spirit of God that doesn't want us to go there. And it doesn't have to be that you're in the world to be that way. We as Christians can be that way. It's a constant, as I said earlier, God's painting a masterpiece, but it's a lifelong continuance. And he's going to continue to paint this beautiful masterpiece. So there's going to be some times that he's still working on, still painting our lives. But the sooner that we can direct our hearts towards him and accept the love that he has for us, his plan will come into play. He has wonderful things for each of us today. So in the process, we may lose our sense of direction. We may stumble, maybe even fall. But we have a Father that will never let us go. And a Father waits. If you ever go to that place, a Father waits and looks for you, waits for you to return. He's looking for you every moment of the day. He's calling you back. He's praying for you. Wherever you are, he's praying that you come out of where you are. That's a Father's heart. I never, regardless of where my children are, I will never say, Lord, just take them down as deep as you can go. I don't want that for my kids. I say, Lord, spare the things that I had to go through. Spare them, Lord. Have mercy on them. I don't want them to go through the things that I went through in my life. If they can learn and be guided by his Spirit and avoid the tragedies and sorrows that are out waiting for us, that's what I want for my kids. That's my Father's heart. And I hope that you parents, if you see some place that your kids are just crying out to you for whatever it may be, just to even talk with you, ask the Spirit of God to give you whatever he needs to give you so that you can be that father that he is. And remember this, never lose hope. And wherever you are, I want to tell you, repentance is a change of mind. Change your mind. If you're going in this direction and that's not right, it's a change of mind. Turn 180 degrees and walk away from it. And you're going to see that when you do that, your eyes will be fixed on Jesus. And he will never let you down. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And that plan that he had for you way long ago will come to completion. Amen. Now I know that we're all in different places, and you know, whether you're a dad wanting to find your way into your children's lives, or if you had a dad that wasn't exactly the dad that you hoped he would have been, or maybe a dad that was non-existent. Only you know what's in your heart. And if anything I said today of this message touch your heart, I'm just going to say a prayer over the entire body. I want to say, receive, first of all, the love that the Father has for you. And then get to a place that you can say, Lord, how can I give what you give me? Let that love flow from His throne, from His heart, into yours, and let it pour out. And not only to your kids, not only to those relatives or whatever, but to your friends, to your church body, whatever it may be, let His love flow through you. So just in your way, either raise your arms or close your eyes, whatever you want to do, and I'm going to pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for what you've done today, Lord. I thank you that your word was brought out, Lord, and that what was in your heart, Lord, is what you want to convey to everyone in this room today, Lord. And Lord, only you know those areas in each one of our hearts, Lord, that need that loving, Lord, that need that direction. And Lord, right now I just ask that you would just love every person in this room, Lord. Let your love come, Lord, just as honey, Lord. Just that it would pour over us, Lord. Just drench us, Lord, with your love. Lord, melt away those places in our heart, Lord, that we have made hard. For whatever reason, our journey has taken us to that place, Lord, that we've hardened our heart, maybe to you, maybe to those around us, Lord, whatever it may be, our hearts have become hard. We wish not to be there, Lord. I wish not to be there. This is a message for me too, Lord. Melt away, Lord, all those layers, Lord, that we've let built up because of the hurts that we've gone through in our lives. And Lord, we accept your invitation, Lord, to run to your arms, Lord. We hear you, Lord, wanting us to come home. Lord, give us that desire and that boldness, Lord, to do just that, Lord. I want to run to you, Lord. Only through the guidance and the direction of your Holy Spirit, Lord, can your plan be completed for each one of us, Lord. We give you that place, Lord. Your will be done. Your kingdom come upon each one of us this day, Lord. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen.